I say the house of pain is in effect.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, celebrate the Browns' first and 10 anniversary week by taking the pledge to volunteer 10 hours of your time to the community on clevelandbrowns.com/community. Take the pledge June 1st through June 7th to be entered for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Cleveland Browns 2015 home opener against the Tennessee Titans. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/community to take the first and 10 pledge today. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble here live in the Dog Bowl. We want to hear from you. Reaction to last night's game. We've heard from Xavier Cooper, Gerard Cherry, all input on last night's game and what to look forward to in game two on Sunday. Let's go to the phones. I have John in Bellefontaine.
Hey.
What's up, John?
You got me? Okay.
Gotcha,
hey,
man.
Hey, listen, I'm not sad. That was a good game except for the end. If I could have told you before the game started, look, the game's going to be tied. There's going to be one possession left, and LeBron's going to have the ball. Wouldn't you have taken that?
100%. You're absolutely
okay.
Right, John. That's a great take.
I mean, you know, you could see the Cavs were tired and depleted at the end. It's different having your basketball feet and being tired when you're on the road. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You can be rested for a person, but when you're on the basketball floor, it takes its toll. But the home team, they have the edge there. That's what the home edge is an advantage, you know. So
sure.
They'll come back strong Sunday, and you know what? Mozgov did not travel.
He did not.
No.
He did not travel. That was a terrible call.
At a crucial time.
Yes, that ref was just waiting the whole game to call one like that on one of them big men. How about Bogut pulling what's his name down?
Tristan down by his wrist.
If he hadn't, that was a flagrant foul. If he hadn't have done that, he gets the rebound and puts the basket up on a layup.
I know. Those hidden points are out there.
Yes, sir. That was a four-point swing, and all they got out of it was a takeout of the side. So, you know, the Cavs are tough. Whether LeBron isolates or not, that you could tell that team was worried big time in the middle of the second quarter until they got started, because the Cavs were beating on them.
They definitely were, John, and thank you very much for the call. And he brings up a great point. I was so confident watching our five starters play a majority of the first quarter, a double-digit lead. LeBron was getting his points. He looked like a man on a mission. He was going to have 12 in every quarter and go for almost 50. But the drop-off that we talked about is when those guys then started the second quarter and then got their 2 to 4 minute break that they always do on David Blatt's watch. And Golden State subbed in their second teamers, and we subbed in ours. And that, to me, was the discrepancy on how it wasn't Klay Thompson and Steph Curry that kept them in the game. It was those second teamers, you know, Harrison Barnes, I know he's a starter, making those big threes from the corner, Iguodala making those threes, you know, and a few other crucial times in the game where I thought we could have took advantage and just pushed down on the gas, and we let up, and Golden State then pushed on the gas.
Yeah, you know, and I was with John all the way up until just what happened in overtime. It's almost as if I would have rather, you know, the game ended in a tie and the Cavs are like, you know, we'll take the loss and go to game two and just not have had overtime happen, because, you know, that's where Kyrie went down, and he's described it as a different feeling than his previous injuries.
Right.
And the limping did not look very good. He did not sound very encouraged. Then again, he didn't sound very encouraged coming into this game, and he looked like his old self.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's part of this, it may be gamesmanship, but again, it just looks, it doesn't look good for game two with Kyrie.
No.
What you're going to get out of him. So you got to find a way to channel what you did in game six without him against the Bulls.
Absolutely.
I mean, because the Hawks are not a fair comparison. I just think the Bulls were a superior team to the Hawks. But the Cavs played good basketball without Kyrie Irving in that Bulls series. So figure out what that is. But I think the tough thing is that the Warriors are such good perimeter defenders, and they're eliminating what Dellavedova, Smith, and Shumpert can do out there.
They do. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. We want to hear your feedback, your reaction to game one. Last night, the Cavaliers lose to the Golden State Warriors 108-100. And something else that stood out to me, and as you mentioned, you know, Mozgov had the game of his life, you know, some big dunks. There was times where Bogut was hacking him. To John's point, as he named out a couple other missed opportunities, Mozgov was hacked on one play, forced him to the line, you know, and he missed. He goes one of two. Another time, it should have been an and one on the one dunk where, you know, Bogut's smacking him on the arm. And I just don't I don't think that we're going to get that consistent effort out of Mozgov, which, you know, concerns me. And then the lack of scoring we're going to get out of Tristan Thompson. Both of these guys are playing 25-plus minutes, and we're getting, you know, 17 points out of both of them, which means the onus has to fall on now J.R. Smith, LeBron James, Amon Shumpert.
You got to get more from Tristan on offense.
Yes.
In this series, I think, going forward. And, you know, I have a tough time bagging on Mozgov for last night because he has so many moments where you just want to scream and you're, like, so mad that he did something. But at the same time last night, I wouldn't have bet a single dollar that he was going to make both those free throws there at the end.
Dude.
And he sunk both of them. I've never been more relieved at a pair of free throws. But, you know, he stepped up, and there's something there with the pick and roll that they're able to work. It's just – it's a matter of these guys around LeBron giving him enough confidence to get them more involved. Because I just think – I felt like throughout the second half especially, when the Warriors are so good on offense, you treat – almost every one of your offensive possessions like do or die. And it just felt like the last play of the game on every single possession in the second half. And I think that turn maybe inspired LeBron more to take the tough shot instead of getting more guys involved and maybe taking a chance on like, oh, James Jones might miss this, so I'm not going to get him. You know, and I think that's what happened, because Golden State just puts that fear in you because they can rattle off so many points in a hurry.
You're exactly right. Let's go back to the phones. I've got Coy in Cleveland talking Cavs. What's up, Coy?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, look, the Cavs played good, man.
They did.
They played a good game. But, you know, when you bring up if you want to blame anybody for that, the blame should fall squarely on the coach. I mean, he was really out coaching that last possession and having LeBron in an isolation play. They should have, prior to then, had every opportunity to get Green out of the game when he picked up his fifth foul.
Yep, you're right.
They should have gone on pick and rolls and isolate LeBron and whoever on him so he could have gotten out of the game. And I thought that was a big mistake. You know, when you get a guy that's got five fouls, he's not going to really go after you that hard. Or if he's stupid and get that sixth foul, we win the game.
You're right. And that's what I would have loved to see. LeBron could score at will on Klay Thompson, so I would have loved to see a set that would have created a pick-and-roll situation for the Golden State Warriors to switch on LeBron, because I thought Iguodala, over the course of the game, just got more and more comfortable banging and playing physical with LeBron, as opposed to LeBron having his way earlier in the game, getting those little hook shots down in the lane. I thought he was playing better. I thought once Iguodala made a couple baskets on the offensive end, it kind of spurred him to play better on defense. And I would have loved to see, you know, LeBron with a higher percentage shot instead of that fadeaway contested, you know, darn near three-pointer.
Yeah, and people forget about Iguodala. I mean, he's a pro, and
yeah,
he would be a starter on 30 other NBA teams. I don't know if he'd start on this Cavs team, and he doesn't start on the Warriors, but I think he would start on pretty much every other team in the NBA right now. The best possible sixth man you could ever have on your roster. And that is the symbolism of that Warriors bench, that he is the sixth
deep
man. They're just deep and full of players. And that, you know, what that bench showed, I think the bench is the reason why so many national experts were picking the Warriors in the series, just because the depth and they can wear you down. But, you know, I saw enough in the Cavs, and I've seen enough mental toughness that they can bounce back, and I don't think this series is over.
I do, too. That physicality of the Cleveland Cavaliers will shine through. Let's go back to the phones. Reggie in PA. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, good, man. It's been a long time since I talked to you guys.
It has.
Good talking to you again. Hey, check this out, guys. I think in general, I two things I want to say. One is that some of the narrators that's doing the game and stuff, man, I really don't like them, because it seems like they're giving too much to Golden State. That's my personal opinion about that, though. And I think that basically the Cavs, man, the problem to me, guys, you tell me what you think about that. Problem to me is that the Cavs aren't going deep enough in their bench, man. I mean, they got Miller and all these guys. Look how many guys they got that has experience and plus have rings. I mean, I don't know why really they got them if they're not going to play them. That was supposed to be the idea, from what I understand, when they started the season, why they picked some of these guys and stuff. Well, Perkins, that was because of Wild Thing got hurt. But still, he has a ring, and he knows. They need to play more on their bench. They only got like three cats, really, that they play.
Yeah, you're right, Reggie. And I think it scares the bejesus out of me to think, you know, James Jones – Mike Miller or Sean Marion having to match up with Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green. So for that reason, I like them keeping their warm-ups on.
Yeah, you just don't know what's left in the tank.
That's what I mean.
With any of those guys.
I mean, and it's not, at this point right now, it's not worth it to me. Let's go back to the phones. Art on a cell. What's up, Art?
Hi there. Just a couple of points.
Sure.
First, I don't mean to offend you, but I've known Nathan Zagura long before he became famous, and I liked him even then.
Good.
The other thing about the Cavaliers, and I just want to weigh in on this only because it was so glaring to me, and that's that if LeBron James makes his first free throw, the Cavaliers win the game.
Art, you make a huge point that I was going to save for later in the show, but I'm glad you made this take. And as a former basketball player, of course, never playing in college or anything of any sort, I prided myself on shooting 75% or above from the free throw line. And it, the same way that I asked Gerard about Steph Curry being automatic every time he just throws it up at the hoop, you know, Klay Thompson going to the line and just going boom, 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 and knocking it down and making it look so easy, but yet every time it was Mozgov or LeBron, it's like, fingers crossed, we hope, we're like squeezing, hoping it goes in. And I think, you know, LeBron was 6 of 10. You know, Mozgov was, I think, 7 of 9 or something of that sort. And it's just those little things, that one point, you know, on a free throw could be the difference in a game.
Yeah, and on most nights that J.R. Smith takes 13 three-pointers, more than three of them usually go in.
Yeah.
You think, you know, if just one more of those goes down or something like that. It just, he had so many, like, trademark J.R. Smith-type shots last night, and it was just one of those nights where he's more of the J.R. Smith that made us cringe about why he was coming here, not the one that we've been so excited about.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones for one more call before we hit a break. Jim in Cleveland. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you doing? I just want to talk a little bit about Kyrie's injury, and I've felt like this since I've been watching his injury, and it doesn't look like tendonitis to me. I had tendonitis on my elbow, took a cortisone shot, and a week later, I can bench heavy and everything's fine, and I don't understand. I think if there's something else that's going on besides tendonitis, it isn't me.
Yeah, I agree. It has to be. But the fact of the matter is, if anything else was going on, I don't think we see the Kyrie we saw last night. You know, the confidence he had with the ball in his hands, the dribbles that he made, the shots, him going to the hoop. He didn't shy away and was still definitely Kyrie. So it might have been something from like a little bit more of a stability issue, but I think at this point right now, it's probably safe to say that we're not going to see Kyrie Irving on the court in Oakland on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, if we do, it's just not going to be the same.
No, it definitely. Yeah. And to this point as well, and I've made this a few weeks ago with the kid in studios. We're probably talking the Hawks series about him participating in that is, I'd love to see Kyrie as long as we can hide him on defense, which would be very tough. You know,
it's really almost impossible on Golden State.
Exactly. And then also, too, just have him be a threat on the offensive end. You know, hit a couple spot-up three-pointers, on a LeBron penetration, the same way that J.R. Smith and Shump and James Jones would be enough for me. But hiding in my defense would be the key. We're going to get a break. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, live in Berea on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. After the break, we've got coming up, we still want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. At 2 o'clock, which is after this break, we're going to play Higher or Lower. NFL.com top 100 list came out with between 50 and 60. We're going to say higher or lower. Gribble, myself, and Jason Gibbs will give you our input on that. Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.